Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
What is going on, you guys? It is August 30th already of 2023. Somehow, someway, Rick Uchino in for the birthday boy, Sean Rossap, tonight. He's out enjoying himself. Hopefully, he has turned the cell phone off. He's not working for once in his life, and he can enjoy a fine evening. I think he's out at some big concert show. I think I saw photos of Sum 41 or something that he was going out. So hopefully, he's enjoying his time. I think I speak for everybody here when we wish Sean a very happy 29th birthday, or however the hell old he is. I'm just going to take a guess. And you know what? If you want to do something nice for Sean for his birthday, for all of the hard work and great stuff that he does for all of us, right? Like, we wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for Sean. Just subscribe, if you haven't already, to Fightful Select. $5 every month for all of Sean's great work, the best scoops in the business, right? And, I mean, you can't even get a Big Mac and a Coke for $5 anymore. I mean, like, Fightful Select is the true value meal of wrestling media these days. Go out there and get it. It's the best $5 you can spend. Wish Sean a happy birthday by doing so. Alex Palowski is here as well. How are you doing, good sir?
I'm a little under the weather, but just like Orange Cassidy, I'm fighting through it. I hurt. I'm tired. I'm sick.
Do you have a catchphrase?
I'm old. I do not have a catchphrase. Well, I do, actually. The catchphrase is everything sucks. And it's not necessarily apropos for what we're seeing in AEW right now, although certainly the backstage situation sucks. Talk about that, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that because, again, man, if you ignore history, it is doomed to repeat itself. And once again, it feels like we have we're in the exact same situation we were almost a year ago to this day, coming off of a big show, the biggest show in AEW history, the largest paid attendance, and that's a shoot, in for a wrestling show ever. And we're talking about CM Punk pancaking somebody and putting somebody in a chokehold before his match. We'll talk all about that. We'll run down the entirety of the show. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Send those in. We will, if you want, go off in the comment section as much as you want. If you want your comment guaranteed to be read on the show, it's got to be in the form of a super chat or a humper chat. Tom Lee Valley here saying, nice to see you, Rick. Nice to not see you, but I'm glad you're watching. And he says, Alex, hope you are healing somehow. Jay Denson saying, shout out to the Fightful Faithful and the SGS, and to Alex for giving the best takes in wrestling. I was wondering, why is Athena the only Ring of Honor champ never on Dynamite or AEW pay-per-views? Is he missing something there, Alex?
No, she's not missing anything. I don't understand why she's not, like, I mean, she's got to be male or female in your top three wrestlers of the year right now. She's doing amazing work. She's doing fantastic stuff over in ROH, and they seem to be bleeding more and more stuff from ROH into AEW, but never Athena. And I question why, because she's just outstanding and at the top of her game. And it sucks that she's doing it weekly to an audience of, like, you know, a couple thousand subscribers to Honor Club.
Yeah, man. Look, and it's another one of those things that just kind of adds on to the ongoing theme of lack of time, lack of, almost seeming like the women's division is never really the top priority or never even really a priority. I mean, even going back to All In, which I think was incredible from start to finish, you had one women's match on the card out of 12 for the night. And outside of the two buy-in matches, it was the shortest one of the night. Right. Like, they gave all the ladies the pomp and circumstance. They spent a ton of money on songs. Like, they made it up like it was a huge deal, big moment for Saraya, but still it got the least amount of time on the card when it's the only women's match. Like, did you do that on purpose? Because Tony's big answer when he was asked about this is, well, it was all about pacing and everything was paced out perfectly, and gave us the Triple H answer of, you couldn't really add another match on this card. You could have, though. You really could have. Like, I don't know. I just if you're going to have one women's match on the card, maybe make sure it's like somewhere in the middle as far as like time restraints are concerned. Cause you're just opening yourself up to more of those questions.
Particularly if it's a four pack, usually those last a little longer because you have an opportunity to stretch things out when somebody's on the outside. Everybody, like, you have an opportunity. It's like 11 minutes. Was that what it was? 11 minutes?
And it just, no, didn't... it was eight minutes and 45 seconds.
Wow, man. Even worse.
I think it was the, because I'm not sure on the Trios Championship match, it might have been the only one that on the main roster that did not get double digit minutes.
Yeah.
Not great. Now, I remember All Out last year thinking that Athena and Jade Cargill did not get anywhere near enough time. And it turns out they had more time, and they just ended the match short. So right. I don't know if it's a situation like that where they had more time and the match just naturally ended where it did, but I don't know. I try to look at things from all sides, but it is what it is. So far, I think, we only have one women's match on the card for All Out as well. So maybe we'll get another one. Maybe. Alex, I look at this card. I look at this card, and we'll get to CM Punk and all of this stuff, but that happened on Dynamite tonight. But I do want to take a moment to look at this All Out card. It was kind of a thing that I think a lot of us were worried about, doing All In, Big Show, a week ahead of All Out. On paper, like, this card seems fine. There's some really great matches that are going to happen on this card. I think Luchasaurus and Darby Allin's going to be great. Orange Cassidy and Jon Moxley intrigues the hell out of me. Kenny Omega, Kenosuke Takeshita, Bullet Club Gold versus FTR and the Young Bucks, like we found out. Adam Cole and MJF are going to be defending their tag titles. Samoa Joe is going to be on the card. I'm never going to scream at that, but it just feels like there's something missing from this card.
Well, the thing that's missing, almost certainly, is CM Punk defending the real world championship against Ricky Starks in Chicago. That, to me, is what is missing. Like, I'm almost certain that was the plan for the main event of All Out. I don't think MJF was ever supposed to defend his belt 2 weeks in a row, because the only thing you can really do in that kind of time is just do a straight rematch from Adam Cole from one week to the next. And they didn't set that up at all. So you're not doing that. So you're doing something else with it. So the actual main event, I'm sure, was supposed to be CM Punk versus Ricky Starks. And we're not getting that anymore. And it looks like Ricky Starks isn't factored in anything this weekend. He wasn't listed on anything for Collision or Rampage. He wasn't on the show tonight. So that really sucks for Ricky Starks. But yeah, there's a lot of things once you start going down the list of, well, why is it like the tag titles? Listen, you're never going to get me to complain about seeing FTR and the Young Bucks teaming together against Bullet Club Gold. However, I can quibble with it considering the tag belts aren't being defended. Now, the ROH tag belts are being defended against not the team that seems primed to go after those tag belts in the Kingdom, because the Kingdom isn't even in the Battle Royal on Friday to determine who's facing MJF and Adam Cole on Sunday. A lot of things you can quibble with. I love the idea of getting to see Samoa Joe beat up and Shane Taylor beat on each other, but that's an ROH belt. Like it does feel like we're creeping more and more ROH stuff into AEW things, and I'm of two minds on this. I think the card is the matches are going to end up being great because I always trust in the talent. But it goes back to as soon as they announced we're going to do All In one weekend and the following weekend we're going to do All Out, I was like, that's not a good idea. Because you don't, unless you are actively booking stuff for only All Out, and they did like three matches that way, like the Miro Hobbs one and the TBS title and Darby versus Luchasaurus. But everything else feels like it needed to be built from All In. And when the thing coming out of All In is a backstage brawl that removes your main event from All Out, you have problems.
Yeah, technically, Tony Khan has 5 world titles, if you want to count CM Punk's Real World Championship, at his disposal, and none of them are being defended on this card. Like, I Eddie Kingston versus Claudio Castagnoli should have been like,
seems like something dunk. you can slide that in and go, listen, we're really sorry you don't get the thing that everybody thought you were getting. However, how's this that you thought you weren't getting? And I would argue, make it the moment. The people who have bought tickets to All Out think they're going to see CM Punk or whatever. If you actually have Eddie Kingston beat Claudio in at All Out like that, after that incredible decade plus of the story, if the culmination is there, people will forget about the thing they didn't get to see and will be raving about the thing they thought they weren't going to get to see, but they did.
Caden Lee saying, this card is making me reconsider my travel plans. Jay Denson saying,
I don't blame you.
Yeah. I mean, Caden, you're talking to a guy who's driving to Pittsburgh for Payback on Saturday and then is driving over to Chicago to watch All Out on Sunday. And I'm sitting here going, I don't know if it's worth the drive, but I'm going to go anyway, because I do love going to live shows anytime that I can. Jay Denson sending in a Humper chat saying, shocked there was not Heavy and Rabbit Punk chants tonight. Triple Canadian Destroyers tonight. And Brian Keith on TV finally. Saraya also wrestling 4 times this month. Guess she's doing better. Also, Sheeta versus Britt and possibly Tony versus Saraya for All Out. I got to believe, just going off that last one, Alex, I got to believe there's going to be another women's matchup. Something, it was teased tonight with Sheeta and Britt, which we'll get into. Saraya possibly even defending her championship. That's an easy world title match you could do one-on-one with Tony, possibly. They announced that trip, the trios match for Collision on Saturday. Maybe they add something here last minute to kind of boost this card up. You got to get one of your world titles on this card.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know. I'm looking at what they're doing with certain things, and I think it's a no-brainer to try and figure out a way to get Saraya versus Tony Storm one-on-one. But I don't think you can actually do the trios match they're doing on Collision. Saraya wrestling in back-to-back nights just feels like she's doing more, but still she feels very brittle. You know what I mean? Like I don't know if you can count on that being a thing, but.
Well, here's the thing. It's a trios match. She doesn't even have to get into the damn match.
Right.
She can just stand on the apron, pull Ronda Rousey.
That's what we're going to do. Yeah. I mean, also that they actively broke up the Outcasts.
Yeah.
Like Tony Storm talking about now, I don't have any friends.
Yes, I can't trust anybody.
Yeah, yes, you do, says Tony Khan. You're tagging with him. You still have friends because I put you in a trios match for Collision, which doesn't make a lot of sense considering the build they've been doing and actually having Tony saying that she doesn't have friends anymore. So it's
Jamal throwing in a super chat saying, so no world title, women's world title, or tag team titles being defended. Eddie Kingston versus Claudio would have been the perfect replacement for Punk versus Starks. Can't argue with you there. Again, though, we have a live Collision on Saturday. Maybe they do some kind of angle on Rampage. Hell, maybe they even just announce it on social. I honestly thought they were going to announce it with the segment that we saw tonight, which we'll get to coming up here in a little bit. Ricardo the Firefly says, no more talk about Punk, anything else, please. And I think going back to the last super chat, Alex, I kind of think that's part of why we didn't get the Rabbids CM Punk chance tonight. I feel like there is real Punk fatigue after everything that went down this weekend.
Even in Chicago, I mean, I certainly thought we would hear a smattering of it. Because listen, just scrolling through X, all I can see, there's a very vocal sub minority of absolute like Punkistans, like that believe the man can do no wrong. There's a giant conspiracy against him, don't you know? And I would think that where those people would be most prevalent would be in Chicago. And if we're not getting a vocal CM Punk stuff, or if they were incredibly good at drowning it out with whatever, you know, production stuff they were doing. It did feel odd. And here's the thing. I am perfectly willing to not talk about Punk at all from here on out for the rest of the show. If you super chat, humper chat stuff for us to talk about, I'll do it. I'm perfectly fine moving on because guess what? That's what AEW has to do, at least in the short term. They have to move on and do something different this weekend.
Yeah, and I'll say this much, because Sean put out another huge rundown on it tonight. Again, Fightful Select, $5. If you want to check out what Sean reported, I mean, ran down everything from what allegedly happened from Punk's side, what allegedly happened from Jack Perry's side, the Miro Punk thing, what Tony Khan actually saw. Did he get hit with monitors? It was all right there. It's just mind-boggling to me that this would happen moments before the opening contest of AEW's biggest shows, that Punk would allow that to get under his skin that much, that he would allegedly do what he did and confront Jack Perry. It's mind-boggling to me. And the person I feel the worst for out of this entire thing is Ricky Starks, because Ricky Starks is the one who's getting screwed over the most out of all of this, because he was going to have this big match along with the fans of Chicago who wanted to see CM Punk. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen all out weekend. So I'm sure Tony Khan is going to get asked about it tomorrow. He's going to be doing his all out media call at 2 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be on it. I believe Sean Rossap is going to be on it as well, or somebody from FIFO will be on it. So we'll see what Tony has to say, because I'm guarantee you he's going to get asked about it. Continue to send in your super chats and your humper chats. Eloquent saying, the build always lacks, but shows always deliver. I don't know if I go with the build always lacks, but I will say most of the time they definitely do deliver as far as in-ring is concerned, is for sure. Mordecai saying there were signs that mocked Punk in Chicago.
Yeah,
that's how tired they are. I did see the one, I forget what it says. It was like something about Punk like always having fits or something like that. I can't remember what it said verbatim, but yeah, I thought that one, that, again, a little bit surprising. Matthew Hook says Shibata Kingston versus Claudio Yuta all out now. Oh, so did we just get
we got a little thing announced, so that's good. That'll be a good match. It's not, certainly not Kingston versus Claudio, but maybe we're getting Kingston versus Claudio at Grand Slam or the next ROH show. The one that I've always been thinking is just an easy slam dunk is Moxley beating OC at All Out and Kingston versus Moxley at Grand Slam. And you have Kingston win that match versus Moxley in New York, to that incredible ovation in that amazing place. Seems like a slam dunk, but you know, whenever I throw up the alley-oops, Tony Khan never seems to go up and want to dunk it. So I don't know.
Does Tony have hops? Can he jump up and dunk it? I don't know.
I mean, I'm not sure.
Let's talk about John Moxley and Orange Cassidy. I would not like, here's the question about this all out. Like, what's your main event? Like the way that the go home angle was set up tonight, I feel like this is it. It's Moxley and it's Orange Cassidy. And I, as much as I can sit here and I complain that we don't have world title matches on the card this weekend, the fact that the TNT championship and the TBS championship and the international title are going to get major showcases, I am a fan of that. Tony Khan is doing a good job right now of making all three of his men's singles titles, the ones that count anyway, feel like they mean something, especially with Orange Cassidy tonight. We get to open the show, Alex, we get Mox versus Commander. I thought this was a pretty good opening contest. I give everybody who wrestled, especially in the Stadium Stampede match on Sunday, all the credit in the world for going out there and performing again tonight. Just 2 days later, you had travel issues. Tony Khan said he had to reshape this card tonight because several people came down ill. Also, people have been given time off, the unfortunate situation surrounding the passing of Bray Wyatt. So there was a lot of juggling and shuffling that Tony Khan had to do tonight. And I think he delivered a pretty good show. Moxley gets the win tonight with a rear naked sleeper that he went into the Juju Katami and forced Commander to tap out. What did you think of the opening contest tonight?
I liked it a lot. Commander was got a lot more offense in without having to resort to rope walking stuff. He still did it, but a lot of it was like, I did not have him doing the elevated gut buster. That was a really cool thing that I did not think that he was going to do. Having him come out with Aberhantes, like that's like another little thing. Like if we're not, if Phoenix being written out of this angle for All In, but he's still around. So like maybe that being kind of a trios thing, if Pac is out for a while, the death triangle being replaced by the trio of Penta, Phoenix and Commander, I wouldn't have a problem with. I love watching all those guys work. They're all different in different ways. This match was a lot of fun. You knew Moxley was winning. I did appreciate Commander saying, you're not going to choke me out. I'm going to figure out a way out of this. And Moxley being like, well, screw you then. I'm going to break your arm. And Commander immediately tapping out like, nope. I don't want this.
Yeah, I wasn't ready. I was not prepared. I was not ready for this one. I do love that, you know, all the members of the Blackpool Combat Club seem to have adapted that Daniel Bryan philosophy of just win a match any way that you can.
Absolutely.
I love that Bryan Danielson will win 20 different matches in 20 different ways. And all of these guys have kind of like adapted that philosophy, which really kind of helps just add that element to them of being a group that really lives and trains and thinks alike. So I think that was a nice little touch there. Afterwards, we get Orange Cassidy in a backstage segment saying that, look, he's not taking any breaks. He's going to keep defending the championship. He's not the same Orange Cassidy that he was 4 years ago. And he's going to show Mox why. As long as he defeated or at least defended his championship in the main event tonight. So let's go ahead and go there. Let's jump around here a little bit just since so we can tie everything together here as soon as I can get to my back notes here. So it's Orange Cassidy against Penta. And again, another really great matchup. There was a lot of wildness that went on in this one. You had these guys trading Canadian destroyers like left and right. And there's that old school mentality of me going, can we sell it just a little bit? But at the same time, it was cool as hell to watch. You know, these guys going Orange Cassidy, the evolution of him over the last few years has been absolutely spectacular. There was that point in the match, and I love commentary calling on it, where he's like doing his little slow mind game stuff where he's, you know, that used to be, oh, I'm just lazy and this, that, and the other thing. And now it's just, I'm just trying to buy time because I'm out of breath and I'm trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to do to beat you.
Yep.
And Cassidy ends up getting hit with two massive fear factors. I legitimately for a second thought the one on the apron killed him. Like I thought he was out. He gets hit with another one. Somehow he kicks out and then he gets the crucifix pin for the win. And then Alex afterwards, the man asks for a chair.
Yep.
Sits down with a microphone in his hand.
Yeah.
And cuts this incredibly passionate promo about how this thing, his international championship, means the most to him. This is what AEW is supposed to be about, is showcasing guys like me who were told we're too skinny, we're too short, we're too different. I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I don't have a catchphrase. And he slams the microphone down emphatically and then ends up staring off with Jon Moxley as he came down to the ring. Kind of like shoved Orange Cassidy a little bit just to try to punk him out. Cassidy was like, whatever, man, just bring it. I don't care. I love, 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 love the evolution of Orange Cassidy as a character, as a performer, as an in-ring performer. Everything about this was a perfect go-home angle, which makes me believe this match is main eventing.
Yeah, no, it kind of, if you're going to run this angle on your go-home Dynamite, you kind of, you know, have to main event with it. I can't see anything else on there. They could have, if they had actually really done a lot of work today, you could sell me on Kenny Omega versus Takeshita as a main event, because Kenny is such a major force in the company, and Takeshita being the guy who's his heir apparent, that could be something, but not after this promo, not after this thing. I think also Moxley is proven. Moxley is the guy that TK turns to when things go belly up. Like he's the guy. No, you're going to go out there with our workhorse champion, and you guys are going to tear it up. It's going to be a lot of fun. You guys, I'm going to give you guys a bunch of time. Moxley, at the end of the night, you're going to kill him. I think that this is what he says. Like, I got to sit down because I can't give him my promo standing up because I hurt because I'm so tired. Mm-hmm. Everything he does, like they've done continuation of, like, he hurt his hand punching a trios belt when he was fighting like Buddy Matthews months ago, and he still has the hand taped up. They are like stacking injuries on top of injuries on top of injuries, and he is so beat up that eventually you're gonna come up against a guy who you can't sneak a win out on because you got a clever roll up when he wasn't paying attention after you kicked out of the second Fear Factor. Penta wasn't paying attention and he got caught. Mm-hmm. Moxley's not going to get caught. I think there's probably going to be a spot where you think Moxley's about to get caught, but Moxley's going to kick out, and then Moxley's really going to hurt him.
Yeah.
Like there's some really good stuff there. Of all the people that Orange Cassidy has beaten, nobody's like Jon Moxley. Because Jon Moxley's one of a kind on this roster, and a pissed off Jon Moxley? No. Orange Cassidy can't slip by him. And maybe somehow, if you do that, well, that solidifies him forever, as what it was forever. But also, I would argue his reign has been long enough with enough amazing matches that this is a perfect way for him to go out on his sword against a guy who is like Jon Moxley, who will just beat you into submission. Yeah, that's gotta be it.
And that's what I kind of want. Like, I don't want Cassidy to, you know, I want the ref to kind of have to step in and basically save Cassidy's life in this situation. Yeah. Like, I agree with you. I think, you know, there's going to come a point where he tries to slip him, and then that's really going to send Moxley off, because Moxley's going to come into this like a shark who smells blood in the water, and he's just going to beat on every single one of those injuries and really tell the story of the match. And Orange just is not going to give up, because he's now told us and now shown us that's who he is. So after he almost gets Moxley, after he almost catches him in one of those roll-ups, just, John, go full UFC. I'm going to beat your head in with my elbow until the ref tells me to stop and then raises my arm. Like, I think that's the finish that makes the most sense.
Me too.
Let's see here. Got some more super chats. We got Peter Davies saying Orange versus Mox should main event. This is the big match. Orange's promo was great. Great match again tonight. When things go wrong, like Alex said, TK turns to Mox, and now he is turning to Orange. Coy Stalling saying Orange Cassidy top five wrestler of the year? ?
I don't know.
Alex.
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't have him right up there. He's just the different opponents he's faced, the different styles he's wrestled. Just as I say, I love the gimmick of this is a guy who's going to go out there and he's just literally stacking injuries on top of each other, and he's selling stuff from weeks, months ago in current matches that will then, whatever happens in this match, will lead to the next one. I think that's great. When you have a reign where almost none of the defenses are story based, that it's just random people who get title shots, the success of it depends entirely on the uniqueness of the champion and what he can do. And that's why Orange Cassidy has knocked this out of the park. So many times people will look at different reigns throughout and go like, yeah, but there's no stories for these things. People just being booked into these matches. The matches are always great, but I don't know. There's something missing. And the something missing is those people who are champions are not Orange Cassidy, who finds a way to make every match unique and keep him moving through this. The story is him. And all of these people are chapters within it. And finally, he has found the through line to lead to his demise as champion, I think. Yeah. And I think it'd be great.
Yeah, 100%. And look, again, the evolution of Orange Cassidy has been great. To go from a guy who first got there who had to be like begged into trying into his matches, and now he's the guy who's saying, you're going to have to kill me to take this championship from me.
Yes.
That is character evolution at its finest. Real quick, though, got to get a word from the birthday boy here.
NordVPN.com/Fightful is great. How great? How about this? You're going to save money on it if you buy as many pay-per-views as I do. And I buy a lot, man. I'm not going to say what kind. That's for you to determine. But I got a great deal with NordVPN. Used it before they even worked with us. Got 70% off my deal. Got an additional month free, 30-day money-back guarantee. Works on all my devices. I have it on this computer. I have it on this phone. Have it on the router that's sitting right over there. The TV that's up against the wall. The laptop that's downstairs. It's on all those devices, and it works on all those. And I can do that and have online threat protection, avoiding pop-up ads, malware, all that stuff. Online trackers. But you can change your virtual location with just one click with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe to services overseas or get those pay-per-views at the international rate. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Thank you so much, Sean. We appreciate everybody who is tuning in tonight on the AEW Dynamite Review Show. Rick Uccino in for the birthday boy tonight. Alex Palowski here. As always, make sure to get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. Give this video a like, by the way. If you haven't subscribed yet to the Fightful YouTube channel, please go ahead and do that as well. Believe me, it is worth the quick little click. And those thumbs up, by the way, if like all 855 people, now 56 people, give us a thumbs up, my goodness, that just really drives up our viewership, and we really greatly appreciate your support. Got a super chat here from Andrew H. Apologies if I don't get the reference. You may need to help me out on this one, Alex. Glassy Freddy Blassie, we not playing this anymore, ?
Yeah, Tuesdays we do puns on the post NXT show with me and Kate Elizabeth. last night was glass puns, things made of glass. We had a couple of mirror references, which were really fun. And Glassy Freddy Blassie is one of my favorites. Thank you.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, that makes total sense now. I get it. I'm sitting here, I'm staring at this, and I'm like,
I don't get it.
I'm going to ask it, and hopefully you have the answer, and I'm glad
we
you
are an
the
acquired
answer.
Taste. That is for sure.
Last night I was just exhausted and passed the hell out is what I did. Backstage at All In, we see FTR and the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks are soaking in their loss on the evening. FTR breaks into the locker room there and asks why they were left hanging. They wanted to show some respect. Young Bucks took off. Young Bucks basically say, look, man, we were disappointed. That was our bad, you know, heat of the moment, got to them. And I actually kind of liked this, right? Because it made it seem like the rivalry was going to keep going. There was some bad blood there still. And really, it just turned out to be a human nature kind of thing where it's like, look, we were pissed off. The moment got the best of us. We were embarrassed in front of 81,000 people is what it is. And then you get Bullet Club Gold, who interrupts, cardboard cutout in hand, and that sets up this big 8-man tag match. Look, if you're going to try to pad a card because things have had to change, injuries and circumstances like this, I understand being a little miffed that the tag team titles may not be on this card. I ain't mad at this. I ain't mad at this eight man for sure.
Mm-mm. No, there's, and because of all that history you have between FTR and the Bucks, this is my kind of, can they coexist match? But it should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a crazy AEW eight man tag. And listen, I was not the biggest, Lord knows, I was not the biggest fan of the Guns, of the Ass Boys. But they have really, really started to show me something. I love them as part of the quartet with Juice and Jay White. So this is going to be, this is one of the matches I'm looking forward to the most on the card. And the concept of FTR and the Young Bucks teaming up was not even on my radar before tonight. And I'm so happy to see it.
Yeah. I can't agree with you more on, the Guns, man. Like, I always felt like there was some potential, there was some talent there, but there was like nothing that really seemed to fit. They didn't fit in with their own dad, because they're like different. They look like their dad, but they're very different from their dad at the same time. So who would have thought that Billy would have mixed more better with the Acclaimed, and then the Young Guns mix in better with Jay White and Juice Robinson? But it does, and it's all about just kind of finding. Good on Tony Khan and the creative team over there at AEW for finding a puzzle that the Guns fit into nicely. And it does. Bullet Club Gold is working.
Yeah, 100. Absolutely.
We get a recap of Saraya's win at All In, beating Tony Storm using the spray paint. And then we get a backstage segment with Renee and Tony Storm. And Tony is distraught, is the best way that I could put it. Says she's happy for Saraya. But that she went off script from her performance, and Tony's performance anyway, at All In. She can't trust Saraya. She can't trust Ruby. She can't trust Sheeta or Britt. Paul Turner should be sacked, Alex.
Yes, he should be sacked.
And then she says All In went tits up, which almost made Renee completely break.
Yep.
And then Tony storms off and chucks a shoe at Renee. I could not love this segment anymore. I adore what Tony is doing. It makes me interested to see this trios match on Saturday after I get to watch it back, because I'm going to be at Payback, which is happening at the same time. But man, whatever Tony, this whole thing that Tony's doing is just working, and I hope she continues to do it for a long time.
It is one of my favorite gimmicks running currently anywhere in the world. Just the idea of her like completely broken by losing the title and reverting to some weird like mid-century Hollywood starlet gone to seed. It's so good. I love everything about it. I'm hoping that her being, you know, pinned and, you know, like pinned via cheating by her best friend Saraya to put the title on Saraya leads to more and more and more screen time for Toni Storm, because not only is she great in the ring, prove that over and over again, but there was a lot of like, yeah, but like, I don't know, is she interesting enough as a character? And then, and she's like, well, okay, hold my martini glass is what she said, because this is great. I cannot wait to see more and more and more of this.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. Like, she's a two-time AEW women's champion, yet this is the most interesting and that she's been as a character. And I think this is the most invested the audience has been in her. And it's almost like she's going to force Tony Khan, to make sure that she is on TV multiple times a week, which she's going to be now. I'm hoping that, and as much as I say this, knowing that trios match may get cut down or may not even happen as far as time-wise, you could easily have Saraya walk out on Tony in that match, have Tony, you know, lose that match, save Saraya from having to wrestle back-to-back nights, and then set up a women's title match one-on-one, Saraya versus Tony on Sunday. I would love for that to be the direction, and I hope that's the direction that they go in. But we shall see. We do have a super chat on this, by the way, before I move on. Tony Storm might be the best thing going on in wrestling right now, says JP. This is actually a Humper chat, by the way. This new version of her is wonderful. And Jake Nile with one for you here, Alex. We're the Glass Boys. Billy Glass and the Glass Boys.
See, it's fun. Puns are fun.
I love that. I punny times for all. Your boy Chris Jericho, Alex, came down to the ring tonight. I actually had somebody reach out on Twitter saying this is going to be an interesting dynamic. Me trying to convince you that this was a good in-ring segment tonight. And I hate to disappoint, but I'm going to be on Team Alex on this one. This one kind of put me to sleep a little bit, especially early on. Jericho came down. He just seemed tired. And I don't blame him for being tired.
Right.
But like, he's talking about All In and what a spectacle it was. 81,000 people. Made sure to say that that was a shoot number, baby.
Baby!
He calls out, you know, Sammy Guevara. And he's talking about, hey, you know, I thought maybe you didn't do, you know, everything. I'm sorry, just the pacing of everything of this and the energy behind it. It was putting the crowd to sleep. They were not into it. Nope. Finally, they get going here a little bit and they get to the meat of the in the heart of the order as they start just, you know, airing some grievances between each other. And there were some good lines in there. You know, Chris says, hey, follow my advice and you'll actually get on the All In card next year. Sammy says, yeah, and I'll make sure to pay attention to everything that you did so I don't get there and lose.
Right.
And then Chris is talking about, well, hey, well, learn from me. You won't lose at your next opportunity for the AEW World Championship. And then Sammy brings up the steakhouse incident, which I thought was a really good line.
Yep.
And then they just hug it out and they say, hey, let's go after the tag team titles.
Like, that was where this, I was like, I was watching this going, as soon as it started sniping back and forth, I was like, oh, okay. So we're gonna do the big final. Well, not final, but because I'm sure they'll do three or four of these. But eventually, we're definitely getting these two breaking up and a Sammy Guevara versus Chris Jericho thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, they're going to add that to All Out. Because that is a, like, if you look at the story of AEW, one through line that is consistent through the entire thing is Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho. And eventually, that's going to have to fall apart. And if the first match of that story beat happens at All Out, at least that's a major match in the history of AEW. As much as I don't like Jericho, that is the story they've been telling this whole time with Jericho and Sammy Guevara. So I thought, okay, at least they're going to do that at All Out. Like, let's have a tag team title match next week. And I was like, oh, so you're going to lose that title, then you're going to turn on each other, or are you going to hug it out again and then do another one of these the following week? This is the longest, this is the most prolonged breakup since me and, I won't mention her name, in college. Like, honestly, like, it just, at this point, just cut all the ties.
Now, did they say they were getting a tag title match, or did they say they were going to get, like, have a match to hopefully get an opportunity?
No, they are facing FTR. Next week on Dynamite, they said, we're just going to do it. We're facing, and because Jericho can do it, he's going to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we did get another little wrinkle to this later on. Renee Young was backstage with Sammy. And before Sammy could even talk, they're interrupted by Don Callis. Don Callis says, hey, it's hard being Chris's friend, calls him a sociopath. And then Sammy, and then Don says some weird line. He's like, oh, by the way, I heard you were pregnant. Hey, congratulations. I just found that out. And that's when Sammy basically told him to shut the hell up and get lost. Even this was kind of weird. Like, I know Don is trying to interject and like, that didn't make sense to me, because Don interjecting should only happen when those two are at their strongest, not when they're already, like, pretty much at the point of breaking, unless he's just trying to be the final push.
I don't know, man. It just feels, yeah. You got, just do the thing. This is the problem that I think, that the overall problem I think I have with Tony Khan is, so many times it feels like, oh, hey, great, you've set up this thing we all want to happen. Let's do it, and then he just doesn't do it. And like, for example, I mean, I think eventually we're gonna get it, but everyone was super ready for Jamie Hayter versus Britt Baker. They just had this transferred the title over to Jamie Hayter and had Britt Baker not have a problem with it at all. And we just moved on. Everyone was super ready for Daniel Garcia to turn on Jericho. And then he didn't. And it was like, no, I actually still love this guy for no reason. Like, that everyone was super ready. We're still super ready for Keith Lee versus Swerve 2 years ago. And we still haven't gotten any resolution to that. So this is the thing for me is like, if you don't unnecessarily prolong things when you have an opportunity to do them, because mm-hmm. you never know when they'll just like not be able to do them. And then 2 years later, we still haven't done them yet.
Yeah. Case in point, remember when they decided to go ahead and do Charlotte and Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, because you could definitely do Ronda and Becky the following right. year.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
We did not.
Yep. Hey, Alex, turns out Tony had something up his sleeve.
Yeah,
after
apparently
all.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah. He just announced a segment for this coming Saturday on Collision where Ricky Starks is going to challenge Ricky the Dragon Steamboat to a strap match at All Out.
Right.
All right. Let's go. Why not?
I feel like we're probably getting Ricky being like, well, yeah, I'm a 70-year-old man. I'm not going to do that. But you know who will? And then he'll bring out somebody. I don't know who sure. it would be, but his champion to face Ricky Starks, which will probably be a good match as well. But I mean, if we're actually getting Ricky Steamboat versus Ricky Starks in a strap match, I mean, good Lord, 2023 is the weirdest.
Yeah, for sure. Look, the last time I saw Ricky go, which, you know, a few years ago, he still looked in tremendous shape. He still does look like he's in tremendous shape. I bet he could go out there and do something. And the idea of a strap match, I mean, that's something where you can at least hide any deficiencies right. that Steamboat may have in his game at this, you know, day and age. All he's got to do is sell, get whipped and sell, and then whip Ricky and sell. Starks can win the match. No right. big deal there, because he's beating a 70-year-old man. But
right.
I mean, at least it's a spectacle. At least it's something for Ricky. At least I think that's a yeah. good backup plan that makes yeah. some sense. Whether they go with your angle where somebody comes out and helps him out, but at least it's not forgiving. It's not right. punishing Ricky for somebody else's misdoing.
Right. She deserves a spot on the card for sure.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. So, hey, good on you. And they're adding some more to this show, it looks like, for sure. Did miss one super chat from Cadillac Carson when we were talking about Tony Storm earlier. He says, ironically, Tony Storm, all caps, cannot win the title anytime soon because disheveled Tony Storm is the best Tony Storm. And
it's true.
Yeah. It's and true. Honestly, they played hot potato with the title now, you know, so yeah. often. And I don't think Saraya's reign is going to be.
No, my hope is that somehow we get to Willow dethroning mm-hmm. Saraya, and then Willow can reign for like the rest of 2023, maybe into like Revolution before we even think about taking the title off of her. Because Willow is somebody you build the women's division around. I think yeah. there's some really great stuff there.
I think it was, I want to say it was SP3 or at least somebody who brought it up in one of our shows that we did this past week, who said they would love it if, you know, let's say Saraya defends the title this Sunday and she beats Tony Storm. All right. And then she comes out on Wednesday and cuts this promo about how it's her division now and nobody, she's unstoppable, is going to be like a forever reign. Does like the real heel promo.
Right.
And then Jade Cargill shows back up and destroys her and walks out as the AEW Women's Champion like that.
That could be good too.
Yeah. So either way, I don't see it being very long, and it doesn't need to be very long. She got her moment, right? She got her moment in the UK. She won. That's all she really needed out of this. Eddie Kingston was on the show tonight. Thank God. I
he
love
sure
Eddie
was.
Kingston. I love great. Eddie Kingston. He defended his New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Openweight title against Wheeler Yuta. There's a great moment in here where Yuta smacks him right across the face, didn't faze him. And then he comes up, just chucks the soul out of that man's body with the sure chop. Does. As much as the story of this match was Wheeler attacking the elbows and the arms because he was really sore from All In and Stadium Stampede, his chops were on point tonight. He was beating yeah. the hell out of Wheeler Yuta when he got any kind of offense in whatsoever. I love the fact that Yuta was kind of kicking his ass there at the end and hitting these yeah. really crisp suplexes, which is really yep. impressive because Eddie's so much bigger than he is.
Right.
But then it was just Eddie just gutting it out and toughing it out. And all it took was one good shot. And he had Wheeler looking like, you know, the finish him from Mortal Kombat.
Right. Yeah.
And then he hit him with one more spinning back fist yep. and won the match. And then Claudio just freaking stoic, man. Eyes focused, walks right by him, doesn't even like mention him like he matters, and just picks his boy up and takes him out. I love this tonight.
Yeah, it was great. Eddie Kingston's just amazing. He coming out with like his head bandaged.
Yeah.
And like half, like 2 minutes into the, screw this. I don't want this anymore. I don't need that. This is fun. I love the idea of Eddie defending the open weight title on Dynamite.
Yeah.
He's just the way he moves to the ring is always like a power walker. He's just doing this, and he's dragging the belt behind him. I love the visual of that. Him and Yuta. Yuta is such a fun dude because like he's the little shit in the group.
Yeah.
But he can hit really hard. He's just smaller and younger, everybody, and he's gonna get to that point where he's gonna be one of those guys training with Mox and Claudio and Danielson. That is a cool like a chapter of his career that they'll look back on when he's a multi-time world champion and be like, this is what built that. I love it.
Yeah. And speaking of Eddie Kingston, if they just want to make it a tradition to have spots in like Stadium Stampede or any of these like major kind of chaotic matches where he is just bleeding, desperate, and walking down to the ring, like the only way he can kill Michael Myers is by blowing him up. Yes. Like if you just want to keep doing that and having that spot, please make it a tradition.
But they're going in reverse. I mean, I know the second one was a tribute to Terry Funk, but gas can to barbed wire chair. Let's get it back up. Next time, a stick of dynamite, a lit stick of dynamite. Come on, let's do it. Eddie's gonna go. He's gonna take you out. He's gonna take the entire arena with him. Let's go. Come on,
Eddie.
Just
like a flaming torch, like the orc in Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Keep getting your super chats in, your humper chats in, guys. We will read them all throughout the entirety of the show. Andrew H saying Steamboat, former partner Dustin steps in possibly versus Ricky Starks there, Alex.
I mean, that seems like the kind of guy who would enjoy a good old strap match.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And sure, why not? Why not? I mean, as long as Ricky's going over.
Yeah,
I'm fine with anybody like that. Those are a good thing. I like that a lot. Ricky, I feel like is especially because he was going to have that great match with Punk, is owed so much here that let's see where I want to see that guy like top of the card type stuff starting in 2024.
Yeah, what, dude, for real, 100%. You want to talk about maximizing about a 30-second little bit here? We get another backstage in it, All In. With MJF and Adam Cole. MJF says he is exhausted. Yeah. He's going to go to Paris. He's going to get a baguette. He's going to bang some ring rats. And then he's going to meet Adam Cole in Chicago for a deep dish because they have to defend the Ring of Honor tag team title Sunday in Chicago at All Out. We're going to have a battle royal on Rampage, Alex, to determine who their opponents are. We see who's in the battle royal, the Hardy Boys, 2.0, Dark Order, Best Friends, Aussie Open among them. Do you have a favorite who might be facing Adam Cole and MJF this Sunday?
I mean, I'm looking at that group and I'm like, well, the obvious one isn't there. So that's weird. We'll talk more about them in a little bit.
Yeah.
But like Aussie Open, right? Like getting a rematch, but we just saw that a week ago. Like that. So
unless
you
put the belts right back on them. I mean,
no, like Best Friends for me. Like if I'm looking at that group in the battle royal, I mean, of that group, the people that I would like to see like on a pay-per-view in 2023, sorry, Hardys.
Yeah.
Is Best Friends and maybe Butcher and the Blade. Like, because I love Butcher and the Blade and they deserve at some point to get on a pay-per-view match. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing that. But like, if you're looking at like Toa Leona and Bishop Khan, I love those dudes, but they're not at that level with the storytelling. Just dropping a random tag team in there just doesn't make a lot of sense. I love Best Friends and I think it'd be kind of cool to see them versus MJF and Adam Cole, but the Kingdom should be in this battle royal and then win it so they can have the match against Adam Cole and MJF at All Out, because that is the story you are telling.
Mm-hmm.
The story you are telling is the Kingdom eventually at least has a match, if not beats them for the titles. That is,
which makes me think that that's why they're not in it, is because they're the team that's going to take the belts off of them. So they're going to do that maybe at Grand Slam or a few weeks down the road. So like Best Friends off of Stadium Stampede makes a ton of sense for them to continue that momentum. Yep. You just had the Dark Order win a match on Collision last week, so they look refreshed and rejuvenated, and I think that would be a great spot for them as well. But also, if you're Tony Khan and you're trying to put together the biggest show that you can on the last minute, the Hardys are the marquee team there. I would not be surprised to see the Hardys win it.
I mean, it's just not the same. I don't know. It's every time I watch Matt Hardy get up from being on the ground, my hips hurt. And it's so hard to watch, you know. I don't want to watch these guys. I genuinely feel for their bodies.
I feel the same way with Jeff. Like every time he goes to jump off of something, I'm like, no, buddy, you don't need to do it anymore. It's okay. We love you. All right, you don't need to do it anymore. Also, TK loves his tournaments. We're getting the Grand Slam Eliminator Tournament. No names announced at this point in time in the show, but we did get one entrant here in a little bit. So the winner of the Grand Slam Eliminator Tournament is going to face MJF for the world title at Grand Slam. Great. Right. Love it. Set up a new competitor. Pretty straightforward. We get Adam Cole coming out to cut a promo. Puts over how special All In was. Says it wasn't perfect for him, but he'll get his shot at the AEW world title again one day. Says MJF is banged up. His neck is really bothering him, but don't worry. He will be good to go this coming Sunday. And then we get Roddy Strong doing his best streetcar name Desire, screaming Adam over and over again, which I think the reason he did it three times is because the first two came in out over the TV, but not out over the audience. If I think that's what my professional broadcasting ears told me on that one, because Adam was just looking straight at the camera like, okay, I know Roddy's supposed to come out, but we just get the Stanley Adam over and over again.
Yeah.
He's flanked by Mike Bennett and Matt Tevin. I actually liked the Kingdom when they tried to cut down Adam Cole here. I thought they both cut two good promos. Basically painting Adam as this dude who uses his friends to advance his own career and then basically forgets about him. I think that is a really strong story that you could bring some real life elements into that they can really lean into, and they had me, Alex. And then we go back to jealous stalker boy Roderick Strong, who's sitting here going, no, I cannot accept MJF as your best friend. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I don't feel like grown adults have these feelings. Like, this reminds me of when I was in college and all of my best friends turned 21 before me, and they were all going out to bars and hanging out with new friends. And I'm just like, all right, screw me, I guess. I'm just going to sit over here and I hate you guys because I can't go to, and then, 8 months later, I turned 21 and I'm in there with him. So I feel like it's kind of juvenile to play off of that storyline when you have this other one, to me anyway, that's so much better that you could lean into.
Yeah. I think that a lot of it could have been solved for me of Adam Cole being like, but you don't want to enter this tournament. Your neck, think of your neck, Roddy. My neck, you think my neck really hurts? And then him ripping it off, like maybe after like a clothesline or something to Adam, ripping it off, like I've been cleared for weeks. I thought maybe you would actually be concerned about me if I wore this thing, but I see the only reason you're actually concerned about me now is because of your friend, MJF. I said this on the post All-In show that Kate and I did. I don't have any attachment to the Kingdom. You know, like if you told me this whole thing was revolving around Adam Cole versus Roddy and Kyle O'Reilly, Like, because that's the thing that I am attached to. The Undisputed era of Adam Cole and Roddy and Kyle O'Reilly, and now this new friend of MJF and Adam Cole having to choose between that. Now, that being said, I thought that both Taven and Mike Bennett did a fantastic job with their promos leading out why they feel this way about Adam Cole, but I still don't have that innate connection to them because I wasn't watching ROH at the time that they were doing that stuff. So I like the idea of Roddy just now being unleashed into this tournament and winning all of those matches. Yeah. And Roddy Strong versus MJF and Roddy pissed off. That's good. That would be a great match at all. At sure. Grand Slam. I don't know if he's going to win the tournament, but I love the idea of it just solely by itself.
Yeah. I think he's like, well, he's the only guy we know who's in it. So
right.
He's the favorite by default, but I feel like whoever's in it at this point, until I see the bracket, I think he's got to be considered the favorite because that's the story that they're telling right now. Let's see. Jake Nile with a super chat saying, clarification, Starks is going to All Out to challenge Steamboat, meaning someone else will probably accept. I don't know because I'm still looking at Tony Khan's tweet that says that Saturday night on Collision, Ricky's going to be there to challenge the Dragon to a strap match this Sunday. That's the last tweet that I saw from TK. So I don't know if you saw something else, but that's just what I'm going off of is what Tony Khan's latest tweet said. Bizarro Big L with a humper chat. Thank you very much. Says, sup, guys. Putting my Bizarro theory out there, how OC would retain. Say, best friends and Eddie can deal with the Blackpool Combat Club, but who can stop a curse nutshot from Danhausen, a long shot, but then again, we get things the Pats cutting every QB except for Mac Jones. Good idea. I'd love to see Danhausen back, and maybe that is, you know, possibly he plays a role in it. I wouldn't hate it. I don't know if it's needed, but if Danhausen wanted to show up at All Out and, you know, he's back and he's healthy, I'm not going to be mad at it. That's for sure.
No, not at all. Yeah.
And if he wants to, you know, kick Moxley in the nuts or punch him right in the junk. Sure. Let's go for it. I'm 100% on it. Mm-hmm. Scott Tilden with a super chat. Thank you very much. Says long-term storytelling, Elite versus the Kingdom with Adam Cole. He says, or versus Bullet Club Gold. Either way,
the thing about Adam Cole is that, he is the potential stablemate of so many different groups, and everybody fighting over the services of Adam Cole, who just wants to hang out with his best buddy MJF, is an interesting little idea. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff left to be done here. That's the thing about Adam Cole being with AEW long term. There's so many connections that you can do over the next couple of years. So many feuds you can run because of that. Sure. All of those connections.
Yeah, 100%. I got one more quick message here from our good friend Sean Rossap.
Is your sex life stuck in developmental? Well, get ready for a call-up with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but how about this? No awkward in-person visits, no trips to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. But let me tell you, your package is not going to be discreet when you use Blue Chew, and the code FIGHTFUL helps give you that confidence, that performance to take you straight to the main event, if you know what I'm saying. When approved online by one of our physicians, it just arrives straight to your door. You're not going to have people nosing around with what you're doing. And right now you get your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Go straight to the top, if you know what I mean. Memorable performance. High spot, you know, whatever other innuendos you can think of, BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Thank you so much, Sean. And just got a tweet from Kim Gray. Says her and her son are watching us right now on FIGHTFUL YouTube channel. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. We appreciate everybody who's tuning in so far. Give us a thumbs up on this video. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. We will make sure to read them all before we go off the air tonight. Got a few things we got to get to first, though. We got the women's trios action tonight. Statlander, Sheeta, and the DMD going up against Nyla Rose, Emery Sakura, and Marina Shafir. Pretty good match here, Alex. They got a little bit of time. They got about 8 minutes, which seems to be standard for the ladies these days. Dr. Britt and Sheeta, they're having some issues here with friendly fire. And I do like this part of the story where they're both baby faces. They both want to like each other. They're both be on the same page, but they ain't vibing. They ain't mixing. And, you know, Sheeta ends up getting hit with a super kick here. And that leaves Chris Statlander basically in the ring to defend herself. And then she just goes full badass and takes out everybody, does a dive to the outside. She beats Marina with Wednesday Night Fever. But then we get, as she's holding up her TBS championship, we get Ruby who comes out, gives her the chop block, takes out the knee, which is just terrific heel level stuff considering her her injury history. She grabs the TBS title, looks like she's stealing it, but she just holds it up on the ramp and then lays it down. So at least they didn't repeat the whole stealing the TBS title angle.
I was worried for a second.
I was too. I was like, we saw this already, guys. Don't repeat it, please.
Yeah.
Mixing it all up. And then once again, setting up Statlander, Sheeta, and Dr. Britt this Saturday, which I guess could possibly, if you're going to lean into the miscommunication between Britt and Sheeta, that's a one-on-one matchup you could also set up for All Out as well, if you wanted to.
Yeah, if you wanted to, and I don't feel like they wanted to. Like Tony Miller has a super chat here saying Tony needs to stop treating the women's match like it's a stipulation match, like a cage match.
Yeah.
You can have more than one a night. It does feel like it is the special attraction. Yep. And here come the ladies. Like it's, and that's what it feels like. And it shouldn't, it really shouldn't. When they did not, at least I didn't see them promote this match during the show. Like they came out to have the match and I was like, we are getting women's match. They didn't even promote it during the show. So, an 8 minutes for a 6-person tag is not quite enough for everybody to get their shit in. Is it? So,
no.
You know, I love Statlander just deciding I'm going to just go ahead and win this whole thing by myself.
Yeah.
With the giant cross block and her finisher on Shafir. That they should be running the story right now of Statlander has never beaten Ruby.
Mm.
So
yeah,
there's your story. You know, like that should be a bigger thing here. It just feels like we need to get one of the outcasts didn't get on the All In card. So we're giving her the title match for at All Out versus the other championship. Whereas they were doing a really interesting thing, I thought, with the TBS title revolving around Mercedes, Willow, Diamante, and all those women who were doing stuff for weeks on Collision. They're not anywhere near the card. We're not going to talk. But because Ruby says, I want a shot at your title, she gets one. I thought when she made that call out, they were going to add her to it. So it was going to be like Chris was going to get her own fatal four-way defense versus Mercedes and Willow and Ruby. And that you could really interest me in, because honestly, there's a lot of potential there for people to pin each other and become champion that you wouldn't expect. But I don't believe that Ruby Soho is going to beat Chris Statlander at All Out. So it does feel like the one women's match we got on All Out feels like it's going to get about 9.5 minutes and be a foregone conclusion. The ladies will do everything they can to tear it up and have a great match. But that's some things are beyond their control. It's the booking that does it.
Yep. And I was going to say, as far as like, you can, as far as like Rampage or Collision or, you know, or Dynamite, you can pretty much set your watch to it. It's 15 minutes past the hour. Must be time for the women's match. Like almost every single week, it's that 15 to 20 minute time slot. It's just boom. There it goes. It's going to be right there. But yeah, I did like also that Chris Statlander basically went, you know, Nelson Muntz in that episode where he's the football. He's the quarterback of the football team. And he's like, screw it. And he just, he like picks up, I think he, Milhouse, and he just starts like punching him around and blocking everybody and taking it. That was basically what Chris Statlander did tonight.
Yep.
We got a ribbon cutting ceremony tonight, Alex. The yep. Acclaimed introducing new trios titles. They went from Oppenheimer to Barbie here, Alex, as they go from the black strap to the pink strap, complete with scissor me action on the end of the belts there, which I thought was a nice little touch. And honestly, just a tip of the cap to the Acclaimed, who this time last year, like, were sitting here trying to, like, or whenever they started this whole thing with Billy Gunn, like, they could not even get the term scissor, like, on the air because Tony was so afraid of it. And now we have custom championship belts that will scissor. That's remarkable. I absolutely loved it. And honestly, I loved a lot of this segment with Max thanking the Chicago crowd for lifting them up because they had that great match last year at All Out against Keith Lee and Swerve. And that was a pro Acclaimed crowd from the get-go. I mean, Keith Lee and Swerve, it was a babyface versus babyface match, but I mean, I was there. That arena was ready for the Acclaimed to win it. And without that kind of crowd reaction, I don't know if they win the titles 3 weeks later. So him thanking the Chicago crowd tonight, I thought was a nice touch.
Yeah, that was a nice touch. The ribbon cutting was fun. The pink belts are a fun little deal for them too. I mean, it does feel to me. I mean, I'm a huge House of Black fan, so I still feel like there was a lot left on the table for those guys to do. It felt like their reign kind of like just got cut short by this story they wanted to tell with Billy Gunn almost retiring and then achieving gold, which is a great story. I just wish it hadn't happened at the expense of House of Black. So we'll see what they're going to do with House of Black from now on. Is Malakai going after singles gold? Or are they going to
should
you want to show me Kings of the Black Throne versus FTR? I'll take it any day of the week. I don't know what you call it when Buddy Matthews and Brody King team together, but that's a tag team I'll watch anytime. Those guys are amazing together. I love this trio. Now it becomes, okay, so what is our trios division look like? Because the Elite are doing something else. Death Triangle isn't a thing right now. There's stuff to do here. So if it's just the Acclaimed coming out and they're having a match on Collision versus Daddy Magic and Ange and Daniel Garcia, which will be fun. But is it just going to be that every week where they come out, do a rap, have a match that you don't think for a second they're going to lose?
Correct.
And just do that for like a few months? Because that, to me, is a drastic step down for the trios division. Because the House of Black and the House Rules thing, where we will accept anyone to challenge us, and you get to pick a stipulation that helps you out. That's how confident we are. I thought you could have run that for 6-8 months, and it petered out. And that's why I think about, there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't feel like it gets the right kind of attention that it needed.
Yeah, they really did lean into everything with Billy Gunn, and I as over as the team is, and I appreciate that, I do agree with you that they had a lot more room to work with. And unfortunately, I think Brody King came out of All In injured. He injured his hand at some point. Yeah. I know there was some reporting that said that he got pissed off after the Punk thing and maybe punched something backstage, but he actually, I believe it was Sean who reported on Fightful Select, again, just $5, that he hurt his hand in the match. So we'll see how long he's out. But look, you can have them go for tag team titles. I would love it if every single one of House of Black went after the singles titles. Like, give me House of Black, like, at some point reigning with Malakai as AEW world champion, love Buddy it. Matthews as the international champion, and Brody King as a TNT champion. Like, inject that into my veins. Like, just because they're a group, much like, you know, like, I never understood why WWE never let New Day go after singles gold as long as they were together. It didn't make any sense to me that they would just constantly be like, they're also individuals. They're just friends. Yeah. It's not a hard concept to wrap your mind around, but for some reason, sometimes it is. So I'd love to see House of Black, you know, go after singles gold, or Alex, we can just get the big rematch sometime down the road, whenever Brody is ready, the House of Black versus the House of Ass. Parker Hines saying House of Ass is too funny. I did like that. That absolutely did make me chuckle tonight. Yeah. Missed one super chat earlier when we were talking about the ladies. Koi Stalling saying maybe Thunder Rosa returns this week. Man, I feel like the Thunder Rosa thing is like we're playing a guessing game here at this point. I know she's training now. She's getting help. Let's just get healthy, get cleared. Don't rush anything back.
Yep.
Whenever she's, I'm not going to sit here and try to guess on that one. I'll just be happy and smiling whenever she does come back. Jordan Scott with a super chat saying, "I need Roosh's group to challenge the Acclaim." And Luis adding add Andrade into the mix as well. I mean, look, there you got a big enough roster. Just develop some trios and get them going.
It did feel like that's what they were building to with House of Black when they were doing that whole protracted, very long thing with Andrade. That we were going to like fold in Andrade with his buddies and then go after the trios titles there. But nope, apparently not.
One final thing that I missed. We are getting Shane Taylor versus Samoa Joe at All Out for the Ring of Honor TV title. Great. Sign me up. Like anytime.
The video package they played for Shane Taylor, for people who aren't familiar with his work, really put him over as like, oh, this, like Samoa Joe can't manhandle this dude. You know what I mean? Like if you watched Samoa Joe versus Punk at All In, you were like, well, Samoa Joe's just going to swing this dude into the facing of the announce desk. Like he could not be less bothered by Punk's strikes or anything, but you see Shane Taylor and you go, well, that's a different kind of match. That's interesting to me. However, it is an ROH title and we haven't seen Shane Taylor on AEW programming like maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
So it does feel like there's two minds, but I think the match is going to kick all kinds of ass.
Yeah. Look, Samoa Joe is my favorite dude to watch wrestle right now. He is just in his element, and knowing like literally knowing everything that went on, or at least allegedly knowing everything that went on backstage with Punk apparently threatening to quit at one point, and he's screaming at Tony Khan and he's fighting with other dudes, and Samoa Joe's just like trying to play peacekeeper and set everything up. And they're all like, according to Sean's report, they're talking about switching matches up and ironically putting the Elite out first. And they're trying to change pyro around and everything like that. For Samoa Joe to just be able to go out there after all that and then put on the performance that he did in that match where he was, sorry, Punk, he was the star of that match.
Oh,
my God. Nobody, like, there's very few people on this planet who tell a story in the ring with their facial expressions right now that are doing it on a semi-regular basis than Samoa Joe. This is a guy. You talk about anytime Punk messes up, TK goes to Jon Moxley. Lean into Samoa Joe more. Like, I know he's 40 whatever. Don't care, man. He looks great. He looks so great. Good. Use him. Use him.
He's amazing.
God, I love that man so dang much. One final one from Tom LaValle saying, I don't know. I'm excited for Ring of Honor Presents All Out on Sunday. Look, man, this is what we said. And maybe the fact that they're running this back again next year.
Yeah. Out, yeah.
Because they're going to do All In it at Wembley again All Out. I mean, Tony's doubling down on it. So, look, maybe he sees where, you know, his error of his ways and certain things of setting up the card. Maybe he does a better job of setting things up better next year. But also, he's had injuries and he's had another Punk thing. So, it seems like every time there's a huge major show and it's a huge history-making moment, Tony Khan just gets, like, wrenches chucked at him left and right. And he's got to dock him dodge him.
It's true.
So, the man's done a great job of handling the obstacles when they're thrown his way, if nothing else, as far as like putting cards together. Any final thoughts, concerns, questions there, Alex? And if not, where can people find your stuff?
I just wanted to mention the Callis and Takeshita segment with Callis like basically using a touch screen to show him where all the bad parts of Kenny is. And there were a lot of them. But Takeshita and Kenny, I think, like, it does feel like it's one of those things that Sneaky has gets the most time on the card, and just those two guys, they have a match that, like, out of everyone's kind of anticipating it, but not as much as I thought they would be. When Takeshita turned on Kenny, I thought everyone was like, we're going to build to this eventual singles match that is going to tear the house down. And I still think the match is going to tear the house down, but they didn't build to it in the way that I thought they were going to. I think this is a Sneaky contender for, like, match of the year type buzz, because Kenny Omega is still one of the best in the world. And I think this could be Takeshita's coming out party, where, like, we look back at this match where we go, oh yeah, we could see it before, but there's no doubt this guy is going to be one of the absolute best in the world. And I think that this could be it.
One final super chat here. Thank you, Broadway Joe. All Out, I think, would have benefited from the takeover model. 5 to 6 matches, super focused. Says this card feels a little disorganized. I think that's a good way of putting it. It seems slop together. Like, okay, well, we'll pull this from Ring of Honor here, we'll mix this match this over here, and boom, we have a 10 match card and we're ready to rock and roll. Right. So maybe just kind of lean into your best stuff and
right.
There's nothing wrong with a six, seven match card. Nothing wrong with it.
I think that you could easily build All Out throughout the whole summer. And like, you could, we're telling the story that you're excited about. You're going to get to see it on All Out, along with 4 other stories we've been building all summer. All In can feel like this giant celebration of wrestling with a bunch of dream matches, but the story-based thing can be All Out with, like, 5 or 6 things that we're really looking forward to. Those people have All In off, so they don't come in banged up, mm-hmm. so we don't lose somebody to an injury or to, I don't know, a fight backstage. And, like, and then we can just have that being something we built to all summer.
Sure.
I think you could do that, but I don't know if that's what they're going to plan on doing.
All right, Alex, fun as always. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on the X at Alex Sour Graps. This weekend, we got, I'm going to do a Rampage watch along while talking about whatever happens on SmackDown. Then Payback, post Payback. And we'll also probably talk about what happens on Collision. Me and Kate will do that. Then we're going to do All Out on Sunday. Right back again Monday, talk about the post Payback fallout on Raw. Tuesdays, we got the NXT show. Wednesday, right back here with Sean. It's going to be one of those 7 shows, I think, in 6 days for me stretch. So gotta take my zinc.
All right, everybody, study that. There's going to be a pop quiz tomorrow. And then, myself, you can follow me on, Twitter or X, whatever the hell they call it now, at Rick Uccino, RickUccino. Got the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast channel that I do with SP3. That's spelled BLEAV. Would appreciate a subscription over there. We go live every Tuesday at 2 PM, which we'll be back doing that live, this coming Tuesday. Also going to do a massive, All In Payback prediction show with Graham Matthews, a Bleacher Report. That's going to be coming out on Friday. And then, of course, right here on Fightful's YouTube channel, the Collision post show with Iridian Fierro and Cresta the Star, the 2 stars of the show. I'm there as well. That is every Saturday at 10:10, unless it's like this Saturday when there's Payback going on at the same time. So there's actually going to be, it's going to be a delayed show. I believe Cresta is going to be doing it. I don't know with who, but it's going to be on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. And Iridian won't be there because she's going to be in Chicago. I'm going to try to call in as I'm driving from Pittsburgh to Chicago because I'm a freaking maniac. But either way, we will be there. We will have Collision covered for you. We appreciate the support. Make sure to give this video a thumbs up. Make sure to subscribe to the Fightful YouTube channel and subscribe to Fightful Select. $5 for all the best scoops and all of Sean's great work. Make Sean's birthday a happy one by subscribing to Fightful Select. Alex, been a blast as always. Good, sir. Sean should be back next week. Take care, everybody.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.